Well, guys, we are about to go into a holiday season. Thanksgiving will be here before you know it, and then Christmas is right around the corner. And this is a season where we tend to think of other people. This is when we're more generous with our time, our money, we're more generous with our resources, and we're about to go into that same season as a church. We're gonna be intentional, and we're gonna be focused on generosity. Our heart is for people, and because of that, we have a very generous church. The series that we're going into today is I Cannot Betray My Heart, because that's who we are. Generosity is a part of our DNA. It's one of our core values, and that's what we're going to be focused on. So over these next couple of weeks, you're going to be hearing stories from people across all of our campuses. You're going to be hearing stories about why their heart is for this house, about their heart of generosity. You're gonna be hearing stories from people like John, who's gonna share why they invest in the local church, about why they believe that the local church is truly the hope of the world. And so help me this morning welcome up John Helton as he shares his heart for this house.
Good morning, Desperation Church, how we doing? As Callie mentioned, my name is John Helton. It's my honor to be here this morning to share with you my Desperation Church story and why my heart is for this house. Just a little bit more about myself is that through the week, I spend most of my time working for Southern Company as an electrical engineer. And when I'm here at Desperation, I have the opportunity and the honor to get to serve as the leading the video team, portion of our production team. And I also get the privilege to be a part of the Desperation College through teaching the evening program. But my journey with Desperation Church started a little over 6 years ago when my wife and I had just left a church where we were serving as youth pastor. We knew it was time to move on, and we knew we was looking for something more. We had seen post after post on social media of Desperation Church and the different things going on. And so we decided to try it out and give it and see what's going on, see what it's all about. But before we did, I decided to go online and listen to a couple of messages just to kind of know what to expect. And in one of those messages, I heard Pastor Andy say that he wanted Desperation Church to be so involved in the community that for some reason tomorrow, if the doors were locked on this church, that the community would be devastated. That statement drew me in and confirmed to me this is where we needed to come. So when we first walked through the doors, we knew immediately there was something different and that we wanted to be a part of it. We saw a church that wanted to extend beyond its four walls. That was evident through the different serve day opportunities that were available, through the small groups that are open to everyone, not just church members, and through the way that they loved us as complete strangers from the time we walked in the door to this day. And so we knew we wanted to be a part of that, and so we joined immediately. When I say immediately, we came one Sunday morning, they had Connect class that afternoon, we heard the vision, and we joined that day. It was that evident, it was that clear to us, this is where we're supposed to be. And so we not only chose to come to D.C., but we chose to invest. And we chose to invest through giving of our time by being a part of the Connect team. Because we know that through serving on the Connect team, we make it possible for others to come in and experience the presence of God. We bought into the small groups and knew that we needed community to build us up and to help us grow in our walk with Jesus. We also got the opportunity to serve through local missions and the different serve day projects. But also more importantly, we also invested financially in this church. Because we know that when we give of our tithe, it allows the local church to be the hands and feet of Christ in the community. And this is DC's passion. So we know when we give, we're advancing the kingdom of God, not only in Coleman, but also in Jasper, in Arab, and in the future communities that Desperation is going to plant. And we know we're also a part of something larger that the church gives to. It's called ARC. And when we give, when the church provides more finances to ARC, it allows more churches to be planted all across this world. And so we're seeing the kingdom of God going much further just here in our local community. So that's why we feel it's important to give back what God's given to us, to give him a portion he's asked us to give and be obedient that way. Because we know that God's going to take it, he's going to use it, he's going to bless it, and the kingdom of God's going to be changed here on this earth. And so my family's been impacted by Desperation Church over the last 6 years in a large way. Not only do we get an opportunity to be something larger than ourselves, we have drawn closer to God because this incredible community known as Desperation Church. This is why my heart is for this house. This is why I cannot betray my heart.
Come on, come on, come on. Can we give it up for John? I love that guy. His wife works on our staff, and she's the one up here singing, just getting after, like, how y'all doing? Good to see you. I'm loving Jesus. Listen, love them. They're incredible people. They've been serving here for as long as I can remember since we've been here. So they got here and just dove right in the very first time they got here. So love their heart, love who they are, and it's awesome to see what God is doing through them. Listen, we are starting a new series starting today. And before we dive into our series, can we give it up for everybody watching online, live right now? Thank you for tuning in, watching. I hope God and pray God speaks to you, challenges you, moves on you, in you, and through you, okay? Hey, listen, also, I don't want to forget this. Next week, we will not be here. All right? We'll be at our downtown campus. Next week, downtown campus. If you come here, it'll be you and a bunch of gourds, and you will miss out on what Jesus has for you. So get your tail down to the downtown campus, all right? And come hang out at the Lord's Festival. It is going to be absolutely incredible, all right? Listen, we have been working on this series probably for, I would say, 6 to 7, 8 months. We've been thinking about this day. We really believe that this is probably one of the biggest series that we have probably ever done at our church. And to you, it might be just another series, but for us, this is something that we really need you to grab hold of, all right? This is something that we need you to get, to grab hold of and to walk in. And there's gonna be a lot of things that happens during this series. We're gonna do like part one and part two of this series. And we'll go all the way probably to December the 10th, okay, with this. And it's gonna be different, probably more different than anything you've seen at times in this series. You probably wanna go ahead and put down some dates, okay? We've got some dates. We're gonna do some vision nights that we're gonna just kinda cast some vision, give you some direction that we're going in our church. And so November the 16th, which is a Thursday, that's gonna be for Coleman, okay? November the 17th is gonna be Jasper, that's a Friday night. And then November the 18th is a Saturday night, we're gonna be in Arab, casting vision for our church and doing some things a little bit different than we've ever done before, okay? Listen, we need you to RSVP. You can go to our website, desperationchurch.tv. You can click on the link about vision night and reserve, just so we know, I have an idea of how many people are coming. Make sure our building's gonna be big enough. It'd be great if it wasn't big enough to hold everybody that's gonna come, because really, we wanna just kinda help you understand which direction we're going, okay? It's gonna be very, very simple that night. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do with our general budget right now. We're actually living out the vision of our general budget right now, but we know that the vision is large, and we really want to accelerate the pace of our vision. And honestly, we need you to help us. We need you to come along with us, to partner with us, and to walk with us in helping us accelerate the vision. Because like I say on a regular basis, I don't have long here, you don't have long here, and I want us to do something together. And so it's going to take financial, it's going to take giving of your time, it's going to take giving of your gifts and your talents. It's going to take a lot of different things for us to do things great for the kingdom of God. And so put those dates down. It's going to be absolutely huge. And then put this date down, December the 10th. We're taking up an additional offering that day, okay? Taking up December the 10th, the second week of December, we're taking up an additional offering that day. And it's going to be just something completely opposite. And we're calling it our Heart for the House offering. It's something that we've never done before. It's above and beyond our offering, and we're going to challenge you and ask you to pray about what God would ask you to give to the church that day. Okay, it's a big deal. It's going to be, it's brand new. All right, and you'll learn a whole lot more about it in the future as we go. Okay, so don't ask a lot of questions now. It's coming. We're going to give you more details. And then on that same day, we are going to be blessed and honored to have the president of ARC come and speak to us that day. I have got to know him over the last several weeks. ARC is Associated Related Churches. Our church has planted through ARC. It's a ministry that plants churches. This man is incredibly wise, incredible preacher. He is funny. He is awesome. His church is about 20,000 something people in Charleston, South Carolina. He's about this tall, and he is phenomenal. I just had to throw out the tall because I love him. And he'll tell you, I'm sure. But here's the big picture. He's a great man, and listen, I can't wait for him to come, and I want you to hear him. And so go ahead and put on that day. Make sure you're here December the 10th to come hear Greg Surratt. He's going to be an incredible, incredible blessing to us. Can't wait for it to come and hang out, all right? Listen, let's dive in. Let's dive in to our message, okay? Listen, our church is all about, we really are. That's one of our core values, is generosity. And you can, and honestly, you should invest in organizations that are giving organizations. And I personally believe that there's something significant about investing and connecting. The music's gone. I'm back. Listen, is investing and connecting your generosity back through the local church. The reason why I believe that is when it's attached to the local church, it becomes an investment that not only affects the here and now, but it's an investment that affects eternity. For the people that have bought into Desperation Church, and there's a lot of people that buy into their churches also in the area of the vision and going in the direction that God has given them, it's absolutely amazing because of people's generosity. We've seen over 5,000 people give their life to Christ through Desperation Church, which I think is absolutely incredible. And so it's made an eternal impact. Listen, you can connect your generosity to the local church. And when you do that, you're buying into the vision of Christ. You're buying into Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, which Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. And he is still building his church today, 2,000 years later in the 21st century, okay? And so when we do that, God moves. He does great things. Listen, when you give, you make an impact. There's 40,000 different stories I feel like we could tell about how generosity through the church makes an impact. I think about one story of a girl named Amanda that is from the Jasper campus. Her and her husband were in prison. They get out of prison. They go to their home, and we'll make this as short as possible. Their home is burned down, basically. They have a couple of daughters. They have to live in a van that's not really running all that great. They don't have much food. They find out that we're doing a serve day where we're giving out hamburgers and hot dogs. Because of your generosity, we can buy hamburgers and hot dogs. They come and get a hamburger. We tell them all about our church. They start coming to our church. They give their life to Christ. The whole entire family gives their life to Christ. We find out that they have no way to take their kids to school, that their van is broke down completely. We help them buy a van because of your generosity. They come and Amanda starts serving on our DC Connect team. She sets up every single Wednesday night for Converge. Her whole entire family has gotten saved. They're all plugged in. And now she is amazing how many people Amanda is bringing to the campus down in Jasper because of generosity. It started with a hamburger and a hot dog because of what you guys do. So it makes an impact more than you realize, okay? It makes a gigantic impact. So it's vital that we grab hold of this whole thing of generosity, and that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. The title of our series is called I Can't Betray My Heart. Why do we call it I Can't Betray My Heart? Because generosity is a matter of the heart. Generosity is a matter of the heart. You know, we always talk about it at our church. We talk about changing the world in our generation and in our time. And we talk about it all the time. And the main way that we believe that we can do that is through having a heart for generosity. Because whenever you are generous, I personally believe that it builds bridges strong enough for the gospel to cross with other people. It causes people to trust you to be able to give them Jesus. And so that's one reason why our church wants to be generous on a regular basis. Why does generosity need to be at the forefront of changing the world? Because generosity is something that the world does not know anything about. The world says, hey, take care of yourself. The world says, basically, live selfish. Nobody else is going to take care of you. You can only take care of yourself. Where Jesus says to live selfless. Jesus basically says when you're generous, it's life-giving. Jesus says that whenever you're generous, it represents him. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. And most of all, honestly, God asks us as the church and believers to be generous. He asks us to do these things. Why? Because it represents him well. It represents Jesus. And I'm going to show you that through the scripture. And so let's start off in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 17 through 19. Lots of scripture today. If you don't have your Bible, it will be right here on the screens, okay? And so let me just show you in scripture where God asks us as the church and believers to be generous people, okay? Let's look at it. Now listen, what's taking place in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul, Timothy's mentor, Timothy is a pastor of a congregation. Paul is teaching him and telling him, hey, it is very important for you to teach your congregation certain things. And here's one of the things you need to teach your congregation. So I feel like that if it's important for Paul to teach Timothy, a pastor, what to share with his congregation, I feel like I probably need to do the same thing with a generation, in Jesus' name, the congregation that God has blessed me with, okay? And so this is what it says in 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. It says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Boy, isn't that true today? I don't know if you was around in 2008, but it was very unreliable back in that day. It's unreliable today too. Don't put your trust in your money. Even though the world says trust your money, God says don't. says their trust should be where? Should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money for themselves. No. Now, this is the Bible, by the way. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and, what's the word? Say it together.
Generous.
Generous to those in need. Always being ready to share with others. Why do we do that? Why do we always be ready to share with others? Why are we generous? Why are we rich in good works with our finances? It says, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future. Why? So that they may experience true life. So what's the motivation for being generous? Listen, number one, because God asks us to. I mean, the Bible says to do it. So if God asks us to, that should honestly be enough, because he is God, we are not, and he asks us to do it, and he knows it's powerful. The second thing is it teaches us to trust God. Listen, to sacrifice or give always comes with a price. And whenever you have to do things through sacrifice, it always causes us to have to trust God in a lot of different ways. The third thing is it's good. It's good to bless others. I mean, I'm going to step out and say, other people have blessed you, and I'm going to point out some ways later on tonight, today, of how others have blessed you. But others have blessed you. It's probably good for you, and you probably enjoy it. I'm going to step out and say that. And you probably enjoy it just as much when you bless others. But listen to what the Bible says in verse 19. Motivation for being generous. It stores up treasures in heaven. The motivation for you to be generous and to have good deeds, the Bible says, goes to a credit to your account in heaven. Now, some of you might be saying, now, hold on a second, Pastor. Wait a second. I thought salvation was not by works. Listen, salvation is not by works at all. Jesus Christ did all the work of salvation on the cross. But the Bible is very, very clear all through it, all through the scriptures, that there will be a reward system of some sort. I have no clue exactly 100% what it looks like, but there is a reward system of some sort in heaven where you are rewarded, try to say that 10 times, for your good deeds. You can't argue it. It's there. Jesus paid for your salvation, but God calls us to live out good deeds. And there's a foundation in eternity for those who give of themselves. The second thing, which I think is gigantic, generosity also allows us to experience true life. Do you know where abundant life comes from? Abundant life comes from when you give. How do I know that? Because the Bible says to find your life, you've got to lose your life. To lose your life, you'll find your life. When you lose your life, in other words, give it up and then find truth. Whenever you give, you begin to find what life, true life, abundant life is all about. It says, so that they may experience true life. When you're preaching to them, Timothy, tell the people in the congregation that when they give, they will experience what life's really about. So I tell you that, Desperation Church. 21st century, 2,000 years later, you want to experience true life. The Bible says, God says, which I believe speaks truth, says that when you give, you'll experience true life. Why is that? Because this is the nature of God. It's where abundant life is found. When you give, you'll discover the true meaning of life. So I want to show you. Let me show you why giving is such a big deal. Let me just reveal it to you. Giving is a big deal in the Bible. If we were to do a series based on certain words in the Bible and how many times they were used, series now, if we were to do a series on certain words in the Bible and how many times they were being used, then honestly, we should probably do 3 to 4 series, not messages, 3 to 4 series a year on giving. I want to show you why that is. I want to show you why this is the heart of God. Giving, generosity is the heart of God and how important it is to God. When you think about the Bible, the word believe, you know, a lot of people are like, well, the Bible's about believing, bless God. Well, yeah, I completely 100% understand that. I agree. But the word believe is used 272 times in Scripture. A lot of people say, well, I tell you what the Bible's about. I tell you the message of the Bible is pray. You got to pray. Well, I agree 100%. One of our main visions of our church is prayer. But the word prayer is used 371 times in Scripture. Some would say, you know what? The word love, that's the message of the Bible. You better stink and believe it. It is. The word love is used 714 times in Scripture. But the word give is used 2,161 times in the Bible. Why? Because God's trying to communicate something to us. He's trying to get something through to us. Why is that? Why is give used that many times? Because at the heart of it, it's what our God is really about. At the heart of it, it's the message that God wants us to grab hold of. Because to be honest with you, you can't give without love. There's no way possible. I mean, you can't love without, I mean, when you do that, when you give, you're loving. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells us that. Listen, the heart of the Bible is this, all right? Listen, we are the object of the scripture. God is the subject of the Bible, and I believe that the verb is give. Why would you say that, Andy? By the way, for all the English grammar people in the house, you love this right here. All the professionals, it took me forever to understand this and write it down right. Why is that? For God so loved the world, you, us, all humanity, for God, the subject of all that loved us, the object, the world, that he gave, the verb, his only son. At the root of heaven, at the heartbeat of God, is the give, that he gave Jesus. We're going to talk more about that as we go. Let me show you a couple of the 2,161 verses that talk about the importance of generosity. Now listen, the whole Bible is about this generous God who has impacted all of our lives. When you are on the receiving end of generosity, it's contagious. You become a generous person, and that's the fruit of it. When you really understand what you received in salvation through Jesus, that inside of itself, the whole God gave his son to us should cause us, because it's contagious, to want to give, and because it's the nature of God and who he is. Here's a couple of verses I want you to see in the area of the importance of generosity. Psalm 37:21 says, "The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers." But the godly are generous givers. How about the godly are marked? They're marked by generous giving. The godly are marked by generous giving. Listen to what Proverbs 11:25 says. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. There's nothing like being refreshed. I love Febreze when something stinks real bad. It refreshes the air. Listen, I can remember somebody wanted to bless me and my wife, me and Leah, and they wanted to get us a couple's massage to be refreshed. You know, you need to be refreshed. And so we went and got a couple's massage, and there was two people in the massage room, misogynist, that didn't sound right. Listen, massaging us. And Leah, my wife, she gets this dude that looks like a Greek god, all right? Like, he was all stacked up. He could rest his chin on his pecs. And he's massaging, and I get Helga, all right? Like, this woman, that's like, she had the strongest hands I've ever felt. And it was painful. It was like Iron Man and Godzilla had a baby. Like, oh my gosh, that hurts. I left there like a bag of bones. Listen, I was supposed to be refreshed, and it was not very refreshing. I was a noodle. Like, oh my gosh, Helga hurt me. And Leah's like, I felt great. It was great. It was wonderful. Yeah, because the Greek god Zeus gave you a massage. Listen, God knows how to refresh. The massage people did not. But the big picture is that God, the generous, they prosper. You feel refreshed when you give. And so the motivation for me to bring this to you is that I want this for you. I don't want something from you. I want this for you as an individual. You know, there's a great possibility that there are skeptics here thinking like, okay, pastor, what are you doing? What are you trying to raise money for? Listen, before, I ain't gonna go there right now. Can I talk to you about your generosity? Let me just talk to you about your generosity, the power of what you guys have already done, because you're a generous church. Over the last several years, you've been incredibly generous by helping plant 2 churches in other cities, where we've got an average of 800 people going to one, an average of 400 going to the other one. There's people getting saved in everyone. We had 3 people get saved in Arab, I know for a fact today, and 3 here. It's because you're generous. Listen, you've helped pay off 43 acres of land that we're gonna build our future building on right here in Coleman. You fed thousands of people from our backyard to across seas. You've helped plant hundreds of churches through ARC over the last several years. We flipped several teachers' lounges to give them a place where they can go and rest in the middle of their breaks. Well, we remodeled police stations to where they go and rest in their breaks also. We've helped remodel cancer center waiting rooms. We've launched a college that has close to 24 students in the third semester of it. It's all because of your generosity. We gave $16,000 just about a month ago or so to Hurricane Harvey victims because of your generosity. Listen, these things are just the tip of the iceberg of what you here at Desperation Church have done through giving. No matter how much it is, if you give, then you're a part of doing all these things. And you know, I want you to think about all the things that our church can do as a church if everybody bought into the principle of generosity. If everybody bought into it. Listen, when you grab hold of the concept of generosity, it changes you and everything around you. It really does. It changes you and everything around you. Some of you may say, well, how in the world do I find out? How do I, you know, use any kind of generosity I have in me? How do I learn how to give more? How do I do that? You can go to Connect class today as soon as the service is over with. We got ways to try to help teach you how to do that. It don't have to even be financially. We will teach you how to be generous and let God use you in large, large ways. Listen, I love to break down scriptures. I love it. And what we're going to do, you know, for the next minute or so is I want to break down 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. I just want to break it down for you. And I want you to see what Paul says to the churches about giving and the importance of giving. Now, before I do that, let me just kind of give you a little bit of background of what's taking place. Basically, what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to motivate the Corinthians to a place of generosity. He says the motivation of generosity is a matter of the heart. And he's saying some of you will be involved and some of you won't. Either you'll give or you won't give, one way or the other. Now, listen, the one thing I need you to understand that a lot of people have taken things way out of, context with scripture. A lot of people believe that if we give, we get. Paul's trying to tell them that's not what happens. And I'm trying to tell you that's not what happens with scripture in the area of that's why you give. Do I believe God blesses you when you give? 100%. But if you're giving out of the motivation of getting, then you're giving for the wrong reasons in a big way. Listen, this is who Paul was. Paul planted churches all over what we know today as modern day Turkey. He planted churches like the Church of Philippi, the Church of Ephesus. That's where we get the letter of Philippians and the letter of Ephesus. Basically, Paul was a church planter. That's what apostles were back in the day. They were church planters, and that's what Paul did. Now, what he was doing with the Church of Corinth, he was challenging the churches to give an offering to the mothership. He was challenging them to give an offering to the Church of Jerusalem. And so he basically kind of comes in with like this little dose of competition. He wanted to let them know what Macedonia had done. See, Corinth was a rich church. Macedonia church was a poor church, and Macedonia gave a lot. And so he started telling them all the things that Macedonian church had done to give to the mothership, the Church of Jesus, the Church of Jerusalem. And so he starts challenging them and telling them, this is what Macedonia has done. Hey, why don't you do the same that Macedonia does? Listen to what it says, all right? In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. Their abundant joy has overflowed with rich generosity. Can I throw this out there to you? Only God can give you joy in poverty. Ain't nothing else in this world gonna give you joy. Is there anybody in the house that can, somebody's like, you're right, Pastor, you're right. Joy in Jesus is, 100%. Only God can give you joy in poverty. It says, I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. In other words, somebody didn't have to come and show them a sappy video and make them feel all bad and stuff inside. And somebody didn't have to come and just plead and beg and, would you just please help us? The Bible says they did it of their own free will. Why? Because they understood the power and the need for generosity. It says they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. So they begged, like, hey, can we give? It's a privilege to be able to give to another church. Can we give? says that even they even did more than we had ever hoped for their first action was to give themselves. So they went farther than just putting money in an offering bucket. They gave of themselves. Listen, generosity is more than just giving money. It's a lifestyle. It's who you are. Everywhere you go, you give hugs. You give words of encouragement. You text words of encouragement. You take donuts, Duchess donuts, to the office for everybody in the office. Or maybe it's daylight donuts. Don't want to leave them out. Or if you're in Birmingham, really bless somebody. Bless them with Krispy Kreme donuts straight from heaven, manna. And then come back and bless your pastor in Coleman. But fly, go fast so they're not spoiled when they get here. Don't, I would just encourage you to break the law. Don't listen to me. Listen. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing. They're saying it again. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers of the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Please let us be a blessing in what we give to our other brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know if, you know, this is a convicting to me. Like, I don't know if I've ever really just like been super, super excited. Please just let me help you. You know, I wonder how many of us are really excited about really blessing other people. It says, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Since you excel, Church of Corinth, since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel also in your gracious act of giving. You are great. You are great at all you do, Church of Corinth, but here's what I want you to excel in. Excel in giving. Why? Because it changes the world. Excel in giving because it will bless others. Excel in giving because it's powerful. Excel in giving. It teaches you a lot about who God is. Excel. He says, I'm not commanding you to do this. In other words, if giving ever gets to a place of obligation or guilt, or man, those people are just putting too much pressure on me, then don't do it. He says, I'm not commanding you. And listen, that's right. Listen, that's the last thing the last thing we'd ever want to do is say, command you. I'm not, no. The last thing I would ever want is for anybody to feel like it's an obligation, it's pressure, it's I've got to do this or do anything out of guilt or shame. If you feel guilt or shame, then don't do it. And that's the same thing that Paul is telling the Church of Corinth. He says, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the churches. You know the generous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, hey, Jesus, God was generous. He gave us his son. Let me remind you of the generosity of our Savior. He had it all in heaven. Basically, he said, hey, his streets is basically what backs up our currency. His streets were gold. He had everything. He was rich in heaven, but became poor for our sake. It says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. I think that's beautiful. Paul says, here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. In other words, what he's saying, if the attitude is right, that's what God's looking for. God is more interested in the attitude than he is the amount. God is interested more in the attitude than he is the amount. Honestly, if we get our hearts right in giving, then God loves it. You know, I'll be honest with you. God doesn't need anybody's money in this room. He's got streets of gold. But he chooses to use what we feel like we need to survive. He chooses to use that to teach us how to trust him. He uses it to teach us how to trust him. He says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. That's why it's a matter of the heart. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. He says, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Let me just real quick. I want to give you five things of the true attitude or true motivation of generosity. The first thing is to give joyfully. Give joyfully. In other words, have fun doing it. Listen, one of the greatest days of the year for all of us in this room, especially those who have kids, children, especially those that who love Christmas. Why do you love Christmas? I think the majority of us love Christmas because we get to give to other people. Like when our kids, especially those with little bitties, like kids that are small, like they wake up at 4:30 in the morning before the roosters get up, before the coffee goes off, before we get up. I mean, they're running down the stairs, they're running down the hallways, and they're in their onesie pajamas, and they slip and slide all through the floors, and like, get up, it's Christmas! We ain't looking at them saying like, shut up, I don't want to have anything to do with Christmas. This is pathetic. I hate giving. You know what we do? We jump out like, yes, it is! Brush your teeth first! And let's open presents. Why? Because we're so fired up that we get to give to our babies. Some of you get to give gifts to your besties. And it's so much fun. You can't wait for them to get what you got for them. Because it's just a blast. You just have fun doing it. Listen, giving should always be joyful. It should be fun. It should be something that we look forward to. Acts 20, verse 35, this is what Jesus says. He says, and I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Listen, the word blessed in this text, the Greek word that translated the word blessed is makarios, which basically means happy. In other words, what he's saying is like, when you give, you're the happiest person I know because of your generosity. Happiness, the happiest person we know are those who are generous. In other words, it's an internal joy that takes place. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe what the Bible says? Listen, you're from the South. Most everybody in this room will say, bless God, I believe it from the very beginning of the book to the back. I believe the concordance. I believe the maps in the back of the Bible. I believe everything about the Word of God. I believe it, bless God, I believe it. You do? Well, then do you believe this part about the Bible? That it's better to give than to receive. That God loves a cheerful giver. There's something about giving that God just explodes in heaven with. You know, the word cheerful in the Greek, get this, the word cheerful, when you look at this in the Greek, means hilarious. Ha! Ha! When I give. Hilarious! In other words, wasn't that fun? Woo! Hey, when was the last time that you gave to somebody outside of Christmas and it was fun? When was the last time you gave to somebody to where they could do nothing for you? You could get nothing in return from them, but you gave to them anyway and it was fun. Because that's the way it's supposed to be, and that's what God desires. You know, some of you might take, I don't think anybody will take offense to this, but I've just got this picture in my head of, you know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. There's a place where I wonder whenever, you know, Mary, who was a virgin, gave birth to Jesus. I wonder whenever God gave us Jesus, all humanity, if there was a place in heaven where he was laughing hysterically out of joy because my plan is coming through. He was cheerful about giving us his son because he is a person. God is who gives. God gives. He's a God who gives. This is what Proverbs 21:26 says. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. Listen, I don't want to use this to beat anybody up. I hope this don't make you feel guilt or shame. It's just something to kind of check yourself with, but you can always tell if a person is truly in love with Jesus by how much of a giving spirit they have. I didn't say that, by the way. The Bible says it. Those who love God are generous people. Those who are godly, they love to give. They love to give. It really is. You know, there was an article written in the Wall Street Journal several years ago called Hardware for Giving. What was that noise? Did y'all hear that? It sounded like my grandmother's wind chimes. Listen, Jesus is coming. All right. It's not with a trumpet, it's with wind chimes. Listen, I shouldn't have said this. Somebody just got offended. I'm sorry, religious person. In Jesus' name, get set free. Listen. So the Wall Street Journal did this article on, it's called Hardwired for Giving, and they couldn't understand why people were generous. Why are people so generous? What is it about generosity that people enjoy? They did a study, they got doctors involved to figure this out, and what they discovered was that when a person does something kind or generous for others, there's a chemical released in their brain that gives off a sensation of pleasure. Listen, I don't know if that messes with you or not, but that should show you how large your God is, that when he created you, that there is a God who is a generous God who put that in your brain, that he wanted you to enjoy it so that you could show his love to the world around you. I want my people to enjoy being people that give. And whenever they give, there's this thing going off, and I'm just happy that I gave. Because here's what he knows. He knows that whenever you're generous and we give, it changes the world around us. That's what he knows. The other thing I would say, number two, is give selflessly. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says they gave of themselves. We talked about that just a second ago. When God was generous, he didn't give you a check. He gave himself. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave the best part of who he was. He gave his son, not only his son, but his only son. I've said that 12 times today. I need you to get how large that is. And if we're to be representations of Christ, then we need to carry the same nature of Jesus, of God. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for this, for his indescribable gift. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about, he's telling the Corinthians once again about Jesus. Thank you for what you've done, God, because by giving us Jesus, you're indescribable. We can't even describe how large it is. You know, it's amazing how all of us are impacted by other people's generosity. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, just in this church, just in our church, right here, there's people that gave generously. They bought into the vision that God gave us here at our church. And the chair that you're sitting in is because somebody gave. You say, I thought this was the Civic Center's chair. We've got to pay rent in this place. If you want to make it better, the chair you sit in next week will be somebody generously gave. To pay the rent for the Civic Center in Jasper and in Coleman, and to pay the cost for ARAB, is because somebody gave and people's lives are being changed. The air conditioner that you feel right now is because somebody gave. Somebody's like, I don't feel an air conditioner. I am sweating and melting in my seat. And then some of you are like, dear God, please don't pay for the air conditioner anymore, please. I'm freezing. The nursery or kids ministry that's here is because somebody gave. The goldfish that they're eating right now is because somebody gave. The crayons that they're coloring with on their tables that somebody, you know, gave to provide the tables and the chairs they're sitting in, and the colors and the papers that they're coloring on, it's because somebody gave. The little shows that they watch when they do worship, they got their words on the screen and they got little cartoons behind them. The reason why they have TVs and people can sing is because somebody gave. You're benefiting off of somebody else's generosity. The coffee you're drinking before you came in is because somebody gave. Someone like, dear God, please don't ever get that coffee again. Stop giving. Because some of you hate it, some of you love it. Can't make everybody happy. When you watch this message on a screen or online at home, it's because somebody gave. Everywhere around you, you're impacted by people who are giving themselves. You know what? I begin to think about people that I look at and I was like, thank God they decided to do it. They decided to give. I want you to think about where the world would be if people didn't decide to give. What if Noah said, you know what, God, I don't do boats. Don't do it. Not today. I do airplanes. What's an airplane? Listen, or what if David said, I don't do giants. I just do really average-sized people, not giants. Not today. Aren't you grateful that Mary didn't say, I don't do virgin births? Aren't you grateful that Paul didn't say, hey, you know what, God, I don't really like, I get writer's cramp every now and then. I don't really do letters, so find somebody else to do that. Aren't you grateful that the launch team at Desperation Church seven years ago didn't say, hey, you know what, we don't do launch plants? Because if that were true, then we wouldn't be here today. And we wouldn't see over 5,000 people have given their life to Jesus Christ. Uh-oh. Hey, somebody get a doctor out over here. We got it. I'm gonna pray right now, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now that God, you would bless this little girl, that God, you would minister to her, that you would pour your spirit out on her, and that God, you would touch her. In Jesus' name, I pray she would quit season, and that God, you'd touch her. Lord, we trust you, we believe in you, and we thank you, Father, for what you're gonna do in her life. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we got people taking care. I'm just focusing, she's gonna be okay. She's done this before, all right? So hone in, just real quick. I know this is a little different. Don't happen all the time in church, but hone in. We got doctors around her taking care of her and people praying. Listen, so aren't you grateful that DC Connect team didn't say, I don't do parking, I don't do greeting. It's a blessing that we have people that are taking care of baby. I don't do nursery. It's a blessing that we have people who are generous, who give, okay? Aren't you grateful that Jesus didn't say, I don't do crosses? Amen. Come on. Y'all with me on this? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, you know what, God, I don't do crosses. You know, I ain't doing it. There's a reason behind that. Listen, they gave of themselves to get in the spirit of giving joyfully and selflessly. The third thing I would say is to give willingly. I'm giving because I want to. I'm giving because I want to. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. Listen, it says this, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Listen, a lot of people give out of obligation. A lot of people give out of obligation. You know, a lot of people ask me all the time, hey, is it okay, the Old Testament talks about tithing, is that the Old Testament law? Or, you know, am I supposed to give or am I not supposed to give? Here's what I need you to understand, tithing is an Old Testament law. But the principle of giving has always been around. God has always given us, before the law was ever written with Abraham, the importance of giving because it was in his heart. We see Cain and Abel give. One gave wrong, one gave right before the law was ever even written. Why? Because it's a matter of the heart. So we don't even have to talk about that, all right? We could talk about what Jesus did. Listen, Jesus changed the motivation for giving. He changed it from obligation through the law to I want to through his grace, because we have experienced God's grace and his gift, and it causes me to want to willingly give. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. In other words, the Bible says, do not steal in the law. Now listen, I'm not gonna not go and steal because there's a stone tablet that says do not steal. I'm not gonna steal, number one, because I'm gonna get thrown in jail. And then number two, because I'm in love with God and I wanna do what's right. The Bible says do not commit adultery. I don't go and commit adultery against my wife because a stone tablet too. Could you imagine me like, hey, you know, Leah, I kinda like you and everything, but you know, I'm gonna stay away from committing adultery on you because this stone tablet over here told me not to. I'm not gonna do that because I love her and I love God because of who God is. And so what I need you to understand is, you know, we don't give anymore because that was the Old Testament law. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about grace given in these chapters that we're talking about right now, and you give more. Uh-oh, I just made somebody upset. You give more. Listen, we don't have to give, but we get to give. It's a blessing. The next thing I would say real quick is give intentionally. Don't just be random in your acts of kindness. Listen, it's not social justice, but always connect it back to God. Give intentionally. Don't do it out of emotion. Do it out of intentionality. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Listen, church, you should do it out of, you should do it out of your passion for God. You got to make up your mind or decide in your hearts what you're going to give, how much you're going to give. And when you do it, don't do it under pressure or reluctantly. The Bible gives us a filter on how to do it. You be generous intentionally. Why? Because it's for eternity. When you give kingdom-wise, it's for eternity. The reason why we are generous and give is because we're intentional about wanting to share the love of God with people. You know, I think about, we got all kinds of cards. Let me see if I can find my card. Oh, here it is. We got these cards that say, you are loved. We got a whole bunch of them right out here at the info bar. And people, we used to do it all the time. We hadn't done it in a while. We're going to push it again. I'd love for you to go get one and try this out this week. But there are people that pay for people's meals behind them in the drive-thru line. And we got a text last week. We had an old one. Somebody did this in Jasper. This is a Taco Bell bag. It says, you are loved. And the text, the thing, they sent this to this is a pastor in Jasper. He sent this to Adam Hicks. And he says, it's not often that I'm reminded that I'm loved when I buy tacos. Found this card in my Taco Bell bag. One of your members is sharing God's love through the drive-thru. Well done. Hey, whoever that is, if you're watching today, thank you for loving this guy right here. It impacted him that day through tacos. You can go and get several of these cards and, you know, give an extravagant tip. Leave it on your tip. I told y'all last week what that looks like. Y'all already heard. I ain't got time to go back into it. 52 cents is not an extravagant tip, all right? Bless people. I've heard of people paying for other people's medication because it was so expensive and leaving a card. I've heard of people becoming contagious to where it doesn't just stop with one car, it goes 7 cars back because, hey, I'm going to get the next guy behind me, says that person in front of me paid. I'm going to get the next person behind me, says that person paid for me, and it goes on back. There's a jillion things that we can do. And listen, you can love people. You are loved right there. You are loved. You are loved. Let God use you in large ways to minister and bless people, okay? Because it's for eternity. Listen, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly in response to pressure. The promise. Here's the promise. Here's where people get it jacked up. The motivation a lot of times that churches and pastors use, that's not the place to start. A lot of people use this part of the message that I'm fixed to give to you as the motivation to start. This is not where we start. This is where we finish. We give because God gave and we trust in who He is. But here's the big picture. You cannot outgive God. The motivation is not to get from God. Here's what happens. The promise is this, is that whenever you give, God's just going to bless you right back. It's a promise. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. God doesn't just want to give to you, but He wants to give through you so that you can bless other people. It's a beautiful picture. It's a promise. Most people start here. This is where we're going to finish today. Isn't it like God that He has all this seed stored up in heaven, and He's looking for people who have a heart of generosity, and He can trust you with a seed because He knows you're going to bless others with it. God supplies seed to the sower. God has tons of seed to give to the sower, and He's choosing who to give it to. And who would you give it to? He gives it to one out there who has cast it out to other people. You give, God will bless. You give, God will bless you in many ways that you would never dream. Why is that? Because we have a promise that you can't outgive God. You got a promise. God is looking for people that He can trust. Because He knows that when we are givers, that when we are generous, that it blesses other people and it represents Him well. So He's looking for people that will give, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We honor You. Thank You, Jesus, for who You are. God, I ask in Jesus' name that You'd bless this little girl. God, You'd minister to her. Lord, You'd heal her, touch her from head to toe. Lord, I pray, Father, for people in this room. God, if there's somebody in this room that needs Jesus, I ask in Jesus' name that God, You would minister to them, that God, You'd save their soul. If you're here today with nobody looking around, and I know there's a lot of things going on right now, I need you focused in, and you say, Andy, I've never given my life to Jesus. Man, I need Jesus in my life. The Bible tells us very plainly that it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to God. If you feel like God's working in your life, you're experiencing something inside of you that maybe God's drawing you to Him and you need God right now. And you say, Andy, would you show me how to give my life to Christ? If that's you and nobody looking around, would you just put your hand up in the air? Say, man, I need Jesus in my life, man. He gave His life for me. I want to give my life to Him. I see you. I see you right there. Come on, girl. Who else? I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I see you, my little brother. Right there. I see you, boy. Who else? I need Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you're up in the balcony, raise it. I see you, girl. Come on. I see you. Proud of you. I like that. Raise it high. I like that. Come on. Who else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? The Bible says to confess Jesus as Lord. You say, how do I do that? Confess Jesus as Lord with your mouth. Believe in your heart that He's raised again on the third day. And it says, and you will be saved. You believe in your heart that He was raised again on the third day. That means that you believe that He died. He died for your sins, something that you could not do. He paid the penalty of your sins through His blood. You believe also that He took the wrath of God. You believe that He died on the cross so that you could have life. He was buried, and the Bible says He rose again on the third day. That means that today you believe that He is alive and He is well today with your best interest out. Why? Because He's in love with you. He's in love with you. You say, how do I give my life to Him? To confess Him as Lord. So why don't we confess Him as Lord right now? Those that raised their hand, maybe the ones that didn't, say, Jesus, I confess You as Lord. I turn from my sin. I believe that You died on the cross for me. I believe that You rose from the grave and that today You're alive and You're pursuing me. Thank You, Jesus, for pursuing me. If you prayed that and just gave your life to Christ, I just want to celebrate with you. Can we celebrate with them, Desperation Church? Come on. Listen, when the service is over, right through these doors, before you go through the sliding doors to your left, there's a bar there that says Info Bar. Hey, go to that bar right there and let them give you a free gift. And then they're gonna give you some next steps in your journey with God, in your journey with God. And they're going to help you, all right? So I challenge you to go to it. It's going to take some courage, but you can do it. Hey, if you're here today and you say, Andy, I want to be a person of generosity. I want to be a person that has the eyes of Christ. I want to see ways to give. Even if it's not financial, even if it's not money, I want to see a way to give. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you just put your hand up in the air? I got my hand up in the air. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, may we be people that represent our Father who has the nature of giving. And God, may we be people that give. Lord, we honor You, we love You, and we praise You, Jesus, in Your precious and holy name.